State Representative Tacky Chan joining us for what's become almost a weekly sit-down discussion, Tacky, with what's going on in the Chan household and on Beacon Hill and beyond. How are you?
Doing all right. You know, it's another week. It's another week indoors, I think is the way to put it.
And, yeah.
You know, thank you for coming to my home, everyone. And,
thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Oh, and y'all see me about a suit and tie for a change. Three consecutive times, you're not going to see me wearing a suit and tie. Very unusual for the public.
Yes, we're all getting a little glimpse into everybody's personal lives here. I noticed all the graduation tassels behind you, so yeah. It makes a nice impression.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is a kind of a tradition from the family. The pine cone ornament was actually made when I was at St. Anne's School in seventh grade. Sister Catherine had this tradition for us to make these pine cone Christmas tree type things. So I remember I had collected a bunch of pine cones in the fall, specifically waiting for the spring so I can make my own. And,
very nice.
And the graduation tassels of both my brothers and my tassels with the tradition of the years of, you know, high school and undergraduate and graduate school, we've been hanging the tassels up there.
Sure. Of course, that's something, unfortunately, today's high school seniors won't get to do in the traditional sense, at least. They'll be getting them in some way, I'm sure, but not on the gridiron.
Unfortunately, yeah, all the high school students as well as the, graduation ceremonies from elementary school to middle school are those. And obviously our high school, college and graduate students would not have a traditional ceremony, either in this domestic or your overseas student. You're going to miss out on that final special opportunity this year. That's unfortunate. But, given the circumstances, I think everyone understands. And, for example, UMass Medical did a Zoom or a teleconference video type thing for graduation. And thanks to today's technology, even though you may not have a formal graduation ceremony, you can have a virtual party, so to speak, where you can enjoy the comforts of home, but still enjoy each other's company through a different medium.
Yeah, exactly. So how is life in your world these days? Same as all. Somebody said, it's like Groundhog Day. Every day is the same.
I forgot what day of the week it is, actually.
Yes.
I think I'm the only one. The last time I went through this was in 2010 during my first election when you campaign nonstop. As a result, the days kind of blended because all it was became, here's a list, be here this time and go knock doors. So this is feeling a little reminiscent from this, but I'm not getting any more exercise, unlike back then. And the weather doesn't help, obviously. People know where I live. I live by a marsh. It's fairly social distance friendly, so to speak, so I can get out and take a walk, but the weather hasn't helped. And given the COVID situation, even possibly catching cold is something to be very cautious of.
Yeah, it's true.
You don't want to compromise your immune system in any way, shape, or form right now.
Yeah, no, all the health experts are saying get plenty of sleep, eat right, get some physical activity if you can. All hard things to do when you're under, stress and anxiety.
Yeah, and I'm feeling it. I'm sure other people as well. I mean, one of the things that, I get calls from friends in the city and outside the city about what's going on. And, a lot of people, met and had time to spend time with in places like senior housing and Quincy Rehab and many other locations. I remember folks, the best I can. I can't promise you my memory's working as well as I did 10 years ago. But, it saddens me when I hear these stories because, they've been part of my life for the last decade, which the voters are very kind to allow me to have that I would never have had if I wasn't an elected official. So, the more people sadly, these things happen. And, I've had personal friends, friends, family also pass and unable to, properly do final respects. Instead, it's all become just a phone call and try to get a card in the mail. So, it's a new form of norm and it's trying to learn to adapt to it. And there is a lot of stress associated with that. I feel it too. So, I'm not immune to the current circumstances.
Sure. There's, obviously there's a lot of talk about how do we get back to some sense of normalcy, and when do we start to do that? It's a national discussion. We've seen some criticism for the state of Georgia for starting to open things up. Some people think too soon. What are your feelings about that here in Quincy, Tacky?
Well, the concern is very simple. As I think the governor pointed out, and I think most of us are thinking that if you open up too soon, you can reintroduce the infection again. And given the fact we're a free movement country, you know, people who get ill in other locations and come on up who could potentially infect others. And you saw that from the spring break situation earlier in the month where ABC News reported about
Oh, hopefully we haven't lost you again. Seems to have frozen up for a bit here.
Hold it.
There you are.
Difficulties.
You're back.
I'm back. Yeah, I know. The other thing that's happening is the telecom industry is trying to keep up on bandwidth.
Right.
So you're either going to edit this or we're going to have to live with some freeze.
I think we'll let it fly, give it a little realism and show people what it was really like to try and communicate.
For sure, I'm not the only one with this problem. We have we get no special treatment.
That's right. You're squeezed into the same bandwidth with everybody else.
So I was just saying that, you know, the case in Florida, we got into spring break and all those kids coming back, including kids in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
You know, were subjected to COVID-19 and infected their families. So this is quite real. And the challenge we all face, and I'm not unsympathetic, and I do realize this, is that there's a lot of people whose jobs and businesses, they built their life around, and they put their life effort into it. And literally in the blink of an eye, they lost it all for now. And hopefully, the fear is they won't lose it all permanently. And,
right.
And that's the legitimate concern. And I get it. You know, I really do. But it's a balancing act, right? And this is something as humans we don't have to face right now. Work or die.
Right.
Die or work. You know, die and work. you know, I know it sounds awful.
I know.
But it's very true. You could subject yourself out there, because the more you're in public, the higher the odds of attracting it. That could result in you and a loved one being seriously ill and die or die. And then on the flip side, you know, you can't work. You have to make ends meet, or you built your life around this business and sunk your heart and soul into it, and you're slowly watching it, you know, go away through no fault of your own.
Right.
And as I kind of said last few times, it's not the fault of government. It's not the fault of us as individuals. It's a disease. And it's hard for us to conceptualize, you know, fighting, not, you know, an invisible type enemy. I mean, you can see it under a microscope, but I mean, it's something, it's hard for us to visualize. So
yeah. And the only weapon we have is to run away from it, basically, right now.
Unfortunately, that's correct. I mean, this is the point of social distancing. And we all have a personal responsibility, not just to keep ourselves safe, but keep our friends, neighbors, and people you don't even know, men in your life, safe, because you could be a potential carrier.
Right.
And, when I started looking at this issue a couple months ago, 3 months ago, looking at China, initially, there was no asymptomatic part of this. It was really described more like a common cold, the level of infections rate. And we are now learning through experience and science and research and all that, that this is an asymptomatic disease, and you do not have to exhibit symptoms to transmit. The longer you spend time with people that could be carriers, improves your odds even when no symptoms appear.
Right.
And this is something that learning now also overseas, as they're trying to anticipate potentially a second wave.
Yes.
So I do understand. I do understand. And it is a hard decision for everyone to make regarding their personal safety, as well as the well-being of their family, not just health-wise, but also financially.
Tell me about the bill, Tacky, that you filed for pay for frontline workers.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about this last time regarding public employees and proposing an idea of providing time and a half or perhaps half-day compensation for employees that do not have the capacity to work at home. These are people that are in transit. Many use public transportation. You know, they're essential employees to the government because they keep place moving. So, I mean, for example, RMV kept all open as long as possible in-person transactions before we were wearing masks and gloves. The MBTA by nature is dangerous. Department of Children and Families is still seeing kids in need. Just because we're in pandemic does not mean that kids are not in danger. Domestic violence shelters, same thing. They need assistance. You know, we talk about police and fire and EMT and the supermarket workers and many other folks, gas stations, pharmacists on the front line. But sometimes we forget the government's on the front line too.
Right.
And I think that's something to remind people, folks, on this.
Is there any support right now for that?
Yeah, we got 60, I think I have about 60 co-sponsors on this bill.
Okay.
Which is on both sides of the party. It's not a partisan issue. On the other end, my colleague Maria Robinson from Framingham also filed a bill for non-public employees on a similar concept to recognize, you know, the restaurant workers and, you know, security people and all the other folks that, you know, our friends and neighbors out there in the workforce. And when we did our meeting on, I'm losing it now too, economist meeting regarding the budget. You know, some estimates put out the fact that only about 40, 45% of the workforce, you know, is out there as essential service. Well, 30, 35% of us is actually able to stay at home. And the remaining percentage of people that just became unemployed.
Okay.
These are rough numbers. But sure. I think probably about 40, 45% of the workforce is physically out there. And government is a big representation as well as everyone you see in place. So, you know, we've dealt with us shutting down during a snowstorm. People hate it, you know, for like 1 or 2 days.
Right.
But imagine trying to cut us down in the city government and everybody else for 6 consecutive weeks. No one's going to process your unemployment claims, you know, which are numbered at 600,000 so far before the expanded program on independent workers, self-employed and gig employees. So, you know, people have to be out there to do the job.
Sure. I know you had some interesting teleconferences recently with the Mass Biotech Council and the Small Package Store Association.
Yeah, the Mass Biotech Council and the Small Package Stores. For younger people, package store means alcohol.
Yeah.
So those are
essential little businesses, right?
They're essential businesses, and I can go through that. So we'll do package stores first because everyone knows where the booze is coming from. They've been kind of named essential business, not just because we have to buy alcohol, but it's a supply chain issue regarding the industry. So it has an impact all the way from supplier to end user. So what does that mean? Well, let's use Anheuser-Busch, for example, for the sake of ease. I mean, they make beer. Beer has a shelf life. They plan beer production around demand. So you look at the calendar, St. Patrick's, March Madness, July 4th, those are where high demand are. So as a result of this pandemic, we've shut down a lot of our business in the restaurant sectors because of close proximity. And retail stores can still kind of figure out how to do social distancing on their own. But if you don't keep the supply chain at some level, you're going to be throwing away a lot of alcohol as well as the whole economic structure from retail to distribution to manufacturing. How long we can keep this up, I don't know. But it's one of those areas we're trying to keep lower economic impact damage, I think is the way to put it, while ensuring that people can get a type of goods that they need. They are right now okay as an aggregate group when you look at the numbers. But the ones that are near college towns, like if you're in Amherst or around BC, they're going to be closed permanently, I think. Where things are going, they're shutting down for good. Same as the restaurants, there's not enough volume for them to stay alive. They've had to lay off workers already.
Yep.
It's hard to bring in new help. It's the many of family business owned, you know, 1 or 2 people, 3 people, their family run it. They don't want to bring new people in because they know there's going to be a slowdown coming, and it will happen. And so they're making the money they can. Distributors have been marking up the price because they can't sell to restaurants. So it's impacting the retail guys, which impacts you. And the distributors are getting impacted by the manufacturers because they can't sell to restaurants. So as a result, they're marking up all the way down the chain. Again, as the economy changes and the fact that unemployment goes up and we have to reprioritize, know, they're anticipating also a sale reduction, and they'll be facing layoffs too, which they're trying to reduce as much reduction of reduce as much reduction in workforce as possible.
Sure. Yeah. I think of something like 7,000 signatures on a petition from hair salon owners to reopen. And I know you've been asked about this before, but it doesn't seem like that lends itself to healthy social distancing.
No, we talked to Representative Dom from Amherst. She brought this to my attention at the beginning of the week, and my staff and I and her have been having a conversation about this issue. My committee oversees cosmetology as part of its job in licensing cosmetologists and barbers.
Okay, we're back.
We're back. So technical difficulties and interruptions. So just took a call from the speaker's office regarding a pending bill regarding diversity issues and the COVID-19 and healthcare disparities. So sorry to interrupt and cut short our time on this video cast, but work still continues. And even though I can't be the chairman in person, and it is informal sessions, which can stop by one vote, at least there's some consideration being made on diversity issues that affect Asian Americans. So I left off a couple of quick places. Quickly, I'm going to go over the barber thing one last time fast in cosmetology. It's about social distancing. You're asymptomatic. You're close to people on a regular basis. Can you transmit the disease even if you're in a room by yourself because you're meeting multiple people? A mask, if it's not an N95 viral filtration mask, only gives you a certain amount of protection. As I said in many videos, the sides still let air in even though everyone's wearing a mask. And hair gets on your face, gets inside your consumer's mask. It can cause some irritation and perhaps temporary relief in terms of taking a mask off or breathing out, and it's a respiratory disease. So there are risks there. Staff and I have been talking about this among many other professions out there and how it would impact this, impact and adjust to the new norm, so to speak. And obviously, we will want some guidance from DPH on a standard for all of us regarding any kind of close proximity professions. And you're thinking, well, it's my coworkers. Well, you know where your coworker's been for the last, 24 hours?
No. Nope.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
No. And same thing with, you know, our own family members is, you know, we want to not be mother hen or helicopter parents with your adult kids or your adult, your parents. But it's kind of important to keep track of where you've been to give an idea of what your risk level is right now. Until we know more, this is the recommendation. So Mass Biotech, we had a conference call today, and they kind of updated us on a number of things, including the fact the entire biotech industry has redirected its resources to COVID-19 research. It is a global disease, it's a global effort, but Massachusetts is the most centralized, strongest life science center in the United States and the world. We do have the best health systems in the world. And we talked to Mass Hospital Association last week, and it reflects our ability to mobilize and get our healthcare system ready for major impact. So we do have supply issues. That is not a secret. But one of the things we could do here that many places could not is we emptied out the biotech labs. While there's PPEs and medical equipment all were emptied out to provide to our hospitals. They do have some unique supply chain issues because the Mass Biotech does have access to more suppliers and they manufacture here. So they're able to repurpose or increase their production processes. And they also remind us like an N95 mask, for example, is a multi-element mask. It's not just a single layer of cloth. You have layers. And they're very fine and very small. And it is true, a lot of these elements are made in China and can be assembled someplace else. But it's not uniquely just China. We do have a lot of manufacturing all over the world and inside the United States. And Mass Biotech is looking to immediately start plans on more manufacturing of all elements in Massachusetts or locations to increase its diversity of supply. So China is a pandemic, then we have another spot in Canada, US, you know, so forth. So multiple parts of the country, for example. So it keeps supply up. Inventory, people ask about inventory a lot with us. And the answer is, you think about it, we don't do massive inventory as a society anymore. We buy as we go. Mm. It doesn't matter if you're in a supermarket or a Best Buy. Point of sale systems allow you to track inventory computerized better forever. So as a result, with the online purchase or in-person purchases, the point of sale system will let you know exactly how much you have. No different from hospitals or other big institutions that need to keep track of equipment and supplies. They keep a computer system track. And if something looks below a certain number, they then order and it can be arriving in 24 hours. If you go to CVS, for example, sometimes they run out. They can get back to you inside perhaps half a day or 2 days tops to fill your prescription. So this shows you how we've had such a good supply chain for so many years that the inventorying issue was never really a concern anymore because of the nature of our ability to keep track of inventory and get supply. So that's going to have to change down the road too, about creating stockpiles, not just in hospitals, but healthcare centers, pharmacies, and so forth. And, you know, supermarkets have pharmacies and over-the-counter medicine mm-hmm. also. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge supply chain issue to all these retail stores to now have to stock up. And some of this medication have expiration dates.
Right.
Not use expired medicine if you can avoid it because the potency level is not as effective.
Right.
You should dispose of it, as we've been discussing the opiate crisis, you know, at the CVS bins and others. So that is also a concern. If you're going to put product on shelf that will have expiration and may not be purchased, which is, you know, obviously a loss because it's sitting on a shelf, not moving. You do retail work, you understand things that go off your shelf lose money. Right. So there's a lot of rethinking of this from an entire supply chain level. Ventilators, they explained to us not all ventilators are the same. You see it in news reports, these massive ventilators in hospitals. They are making many of those, but they're also ventilators for field hospitals. We actually have a manufacturer in Massachusetts that's a government contracted military ventilator field use. Hmm. They ramped up from 1,000 to 10,000 a month manufacturing just to address this crisis. So another thing I think the news doesn't tell you, and Mass Bio was explained to us, every healthcare system, wherever you are in the world, is buying from each other, meaning from each other's countries. And secondly, everyone has unique needs. So the field hospital ventilator would be usable in certain locations that we wouldn't be using unless, say, Mass General. Mass General only these massive ventilators, which may not be usable with smaller community hospitals around the world.
No.
So it is quite a broad range of medical devices. Another thing that's in the conversation is medical devices such as other medical devices medicines such as sedatives. They need more sedatives. Because they're treating more patients right now. You know, so, you know, people don't think about things like increased need for antibiotics right now because they're treating a disease that affects your respiratory system that gets bacteria into your lungs, breaks the cell wall, and causes infection. The antibiotics are very important. So there's all these other supply chain issues and all these other medications that are very, very important. And Mass Biotech is a competitive industry, meaning the various members competing against each other. But in this pandemic, they've all put aside their competitive interests in favor of one goal, is to understand the disease, find a vaccine, make new technology in case, and most likely, we will have a new norm, and obviously make things commercially available that's affordable for the general public as part of the new norm. So they're already thinking, you know, 1 year, 2 years down the road of what potentially things may be while trying to learn the science now. You're seeing the news about antibodies. Mm-hmm. Antibody positive does not guarantee non-reinfection.
Right.
They flat out told us of that. There's not enough research done yet. And they don't like the idea of selling a hope that isn't backed by science. So Korea, for example, is facing reinfection from people that have tested positive. They're facing that now. And other countries are looking at high asymptomatic disease rates. Singapore is the one I'm watching because they have a comparable medical system to the U.S. It is hot as sin in that country. I visited before. In their winter, it's 95 degrees.
Wow.
So this supposedly is resistance to summertime. Well, they tripled their infection rate inside of 2 weeks.
There blows and that theory out of the water.
It blows that theory out of water. And it's also more asymptomatic because they've been doing quarantines and health checks of everybody entering the island. So it isn't because they haven't put in measures of 14-day isolation. They have been doing it, and they're rather involved. They put GPS trackers on.
Wow. I'm
sure. So they're very, very, very serious. And Muslim countries such as Indonesia is going through a holiday, high holidays coming up, Ramadan. So there'll be a lot of travel. I know the warm weather country to see the impact because they're having a massive increase of infections. Mm-hmm. And certain countries don't have a good testing. You know, we are one of the highest tested places in the world at this point. And as a result, you know, more tests, more knowledge, we understand what's going on. And this leads to the governor's tracing program. Mm-hmm. On my website, and there's, and I'm sorry, my Facebook site, we put up a post talking about.
Yep, lost your audio there, Jackie. There you go.
19 MA. It's on my Facebook to remember to pick up the phone, because that means that you've encountered somebody that could be infected, that could have infected you.
Right.
So there's that serious point that, you know, you should look for that. You're not going to ask for social security numbers. We're not asking for your bank account.
Right.
And ask if personal information will get to your money,
yeah,
or your identification. But we need to know, you know, if you know a certain person, have you been contacted with a certain person? Can you collaborate the time for a certain person? So it's important to keep that in mind. And this becomes a privacy issue. And I've read some memos from ACLU regarding privacy concerns, and I do share those concerns. And we got to find a balancing act in tracing while maintaining people's privacy. And as I've said multiple times, I don't want anybody to have stigmatization.
Mm-hmm. So
just because you're COVID positive, we don't stigmatize anybody for a disease. We want people to be safe and healthy, and to ensure that everybody who's with you is also safe and healthy. That is the objective.
Right, yeah. Ways to get in touch with you, Jackie, for folks?
Sure. You can always reach the office at 617-722-2014, 722-2014. Leave a voicemail of any staff member. They'll pick it up, and you know, they always can reach me. Email again is tacky.chan@mahouse.gov. I'm sure the screen's going to be better than my ability to speak it.
we'll put it up there for folks, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I am getting bombed with emails on COVID-related teleconferences and meetings, updates from every sector, from Health and Human Service not-for-profits all the way to the big medical communities, try to explain where they are. So I'm learning as I go, like many of us, but it is overwhelming. And I do fill out my emails based on need. So it's all prioritized based on media concerns. And I understand people are still emailing me about climate change emails and emails on, you know, needing transportation funding. That's still coming in. But, you know, I hope you guys all understand that our priority right now is to address immediate concerns that you reach me on. And some of the policy issues I know are very important to you. And I share the importance of me learning a bunch of policy issues. But you know, right now we're prioritizing ensuring that people can get to unemployment benefits, and if they need help getting food, we can find you a food pantry or someone to deliver, or you know, senior care and isolation, domestic violence, many of these issues that have come up. So right now my office is very much also prioritizing those cases.
Great. Well, great to talk to you again. Appreciate the update, and we'll have to catch up again soon.
Yeah, I apologize for the abbreviated program. But we'll reach out soon. Maybe we'll definitely see each other probably in the next 5 to 7 days virtually.
Sounds good, Jackie. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.